let you know my message.
Are we going home now?
You can go. I am resolved in the wonderful words of life. Pastor Gary asked me, for once I had some good news for him, with some of my ministry work. And as I was discussing it with him, he asked if I would go ahead and do this night service. So I'm privileged to do that. I'd like to start with Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the vengeful cease. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep, oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. I had a wonderful experience last week with, I do hospice ministry, and I want to get into a little bit before that, a little bit of history of where I was and what happened, because that'll kind of fit into the scriptures that I'm going to be referencing. I guess about 5 months ago, I decided that I was going to start stock trading because I couldn't find a job. Well, that was a disaster, to say the least. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, I never once prayed about it. And, you know, we're supposed to confess our sins, so I'll confess it to you. I'm a control freak, and God has been working on that in my life for a long time. And it's funny how God speaks to you, because clearly I have incidents, more than one, and Sherry can attest to some of these, how God has spoken to our hearts. And simultaneously, we'll look at one another, and it's the same message. So God does talk to us, and I know Ray knows this because he's going to be doing the Experiencing God book, and he speaks to us in various ways. One is prayer through the church, right? And what's the other one? You're supposed to be ready on this thing. Through his word. Okay. So, anyways, my strategy was good, and I'm going to just real quick on this worldly stuff. My strategy was fantastic, and quite frankly, had I had the Spirit of God with me, I probably would be hundreds of thousands of dollars above rather than lost thousands of dollars. It was a disaster. But again, you understand what God's working on is the control, my control. Because all the stocks I picked, unbelievably, were there. If I had kept them for 4 months, it was just incredible. But I didn't. So here I get into this ministry, and I just love it. But I get into ministry, and I'm expecting, and I know we have a missionary here, and I know you'll be able to attest to this. You know, you're just not thought of very much in the world sense. Because I started in the hospice, and they required training programs, and which I was very diligent to do. I went into the volunteer, and then I went into the volunteer chaplain program, which required, you know, X number back-to-back trainings. And I'll tell you, and I don't want this to go outside the church here because, I don't think it's a healthy thing to go outside, but the individual pastor that was leading the training was not just late, was grossly late. And, you know, understand I'm a volunteer, so I'd go at the prescribed times, and he'd be 15, 20, 30, 45 minutes late. So I'm sitting there waiting for him. And this happened every single time. There wasn't one time that he came on time. Now, here's why I mentioned that. I've got a secretary there seeing this. And I'm not saying a word. After about the third time of this, she looks at me and says, "You should really say something about this. This is just not right." And I said, "Well," I said, "he's my authority." I said, "I'll appeal to him if I appeal to anybody." I didn't say anymore. I left it like that. Well, lo and behold, I've been doing the hospice, and I've been blessed beyond measure. God has blessed me in just so many ways. It's just incredible. Well, last week, I hadn't touched that stock market in 4 months. Nothing. I had like an online trading thing. So in the morning, I get up, and I go online. And I'm thinking, did I pray about it? No, I did not pray about it. Was there any consultation with God? No, not in any way. But I was going to go on it because I was listening to the news. And, oh, yeah, maybe food stocks. That's it, food stocks. I can't go wrong without food stocks. So I got online, and the Lord says, don't do it. I mean, I got right on to where you just hit the button. That's where I was on it. He says, don't do it. Phone rings. It's the woman at the hospice, the secretary. She says, "Roger, I was wondering if you would do me a favor." I said, "What is that?" "Yeah, anything. What do you need?" This is not a hospice call, but the nursing home has somebody dying, and they want their last rites. But they said they'll take any pastor. "Will you go?" "Sure, I will." Put it away. Ran out to the nursing home. The wonderful words of life. Let me tell you something. There's nothing that I can't explain it to you, because I've got a 95-year-old man sitting there dying. He stopped eating. And all he wants to hear is the words of life. So I proceed through Romans, into John, into Corinthians. And the tears start streaming. And he says to me, "All I want to die and be with Jesus." That was it. So praise God. I mean, this is, you know, but listen to this, what he says to me now. This is where God speaks. And this is why I'm building this all up to this point. You know what he said to me? He said, "I played the stock market all my life, and I've made a lot of money." And the Lord struck my heart, and I said, "And the money was your God." He didn't say anything. And the words of life changed his heart as the tears streamed. Salvation. God spoke to me. So what did I do? I got rid of that darn thing as soon as I got home. It's done. Yeah, I got rid of it. But, you know, I was thinking about that, too. And, you know, Lord led me to Rome, led me to a lot of places. I don't know if we'll have time. But he led me to Romans chapter 7 and 8. So if we turn to Romans chapter 7 and 8. And by the way, this ties directly into what we're studying as well with Isaiah. And the rebellion of, and the fact of repentance and resting in the Lord. All right. We'll start in verse 1 of 7. "Or do you not know, brethren," for I'm speaking to those who know the law, "that the law has jurisdiction over every person as long as he lives?" And then he gets in an allegory. "For a married woman is bound by the law to her husband while he is living, but when he," I'm paraphrasing, "but when he dies, he's no longer bound. She's free." Verse 4. "Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were aroused by the law, were at work in the members of the body to bear fruit of death for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that which we were bound, so we serve in the newness of the Spirit and not the old letter of the law." Because the law, letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So we see, too, that, you know, through the commandment, the sin would become utterly sinful as we see the holiness of God and our lack of it, because we can't fulfill the law. Only Christ could do that. 15. This hit me. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing that I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer that I am doing it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want to do, I do not do, and I practice the very evil that I do not want. 21. I find then that the principal evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. You know, there's one thing I forgot to tell you. God was speaking to me with that stock too. You know, this is a critical thing because there were many times in there that although I didn't pray, he was saying, what are you doing? And you know, when you're without a job and you want to contribute to the family, there's a weakness there. I've got a weakness. I always provided. I don't have a job. I don't provide, you know, in the sense of traditional sense of a man. But I was fighting these things, but I didn't obey until God disciplined me. I lost money, which was never the goal. I don't want you to understand it, because I lost a lot of money in other stocks and mutuals I had no control over, and it was fine. But when I had the control, it wasn't. So really what I was dealing with, probably the worst sin of all, which is pride. So that, you know, that's as straightforward as it can get. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this sin? Thank be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other hand, in my flesh, that's the law of sin. And this is so freeing. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. In us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those according to the Spirit on things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. I was shown that I can't do anything else but walk in the Spirit of God. I can't see anything else but the things above. My commitment and my devotion is there. That's why I like that, my resolve. That song, I thought it was perfect Sunday when they said it. Because our resolve really is that. You know, we see the failures in Isaiah with Israel that had all the blessing, all the promises of God. Walked with God in the tabernacle, were given all the benefits of God, and yet they were an obstinate, rebellious group. And God poured out as a mother hen with her chicks, and they would not come. And I said, Lord, how could I ever leave you? It's not me leaving. He never leaves. Because we fail. We sin and we fail. But by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, we have salvation, and we have the Spirit of God. And, you know, I was looking, too, at Isaiah 11, I want to say it's 11:3, describing Jesus and the Spirit of counsel and wisdom and understanding. And you know what? We have all those things in us with the Spirit of God. If we're born again, we have all the equipment of the Spirit, all seven of those things, the fear of God. And that's really what compels us. As we read the Word and we meditate on the Word in our hearts, the Spirit of God takes over. And we start to walk in the Spirit. And so let's go to Galatians. I've got Galatians chapter 5. See my little marker here. You know, it was 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. How many of us are so often back into the world. We get caught up in so many different things in our lives, whether it's career, money, hobbies. We're so caught up and miss the focus of Christ in our whole mission. Our mission has always been, from the very beginning, God wanted a family and he wanted to walk with us. That was right from the beginning. And it was always by faith. Even in Deuteronomy, it says it again, over and over again, he gives the law. And he says, in I think it was Deuteronomy 31, he says, you know, these things are not difficult because the word is very near, even in your mouth and your heart. It was a word of faith and belief. It was the same thing that, you know, it was counted to Abraham as righteousness because he believed. He believed and it was counted as right. It's always been faith. And faith is the catalyst for our life. And, you know, I think, too, in John chapter 4 with the Samaritan woman. What a beautiful picture that was. The charity and the agape love of Christ. He's coming through and he goes right through Samaria and he gets a Samaritan woman. And first of all, as we all know and have studied, that was like water and oil at that time, the Samaritans. But here he is, and an odd time of the day, she's out pouring water, and he asks her for a glass of water. And she says, why are you asking me for a glass of water? He said, if you knew how I was, and asked me for water, I'd give you water that lasts forever, that streams up living water, right? It's like, what is that living water? The wonderful, what? Beautiful words of life, the gospel. We have that. And then later on, in that same chapter, we see about the harvest. We see the harvest is ripe. Go out. Why does he put those two together? It's not a coincidence. It's because those are the words of life that Christ gives us, that we go out and work the mission field. We work the families. We work at work. We wherever we are, we're the light of Christ because God is light, and in him there's no darkness. So we know. The truth is in us. So if we're walking by the truth of God, we'll be that light, and we'll have wonderful fruit of righteousness. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, he says, what is for reproof, correction, what for accurately handling the word of God, for what? Training in righteousness, right? I'm paraphrasing it, but that's what it is. It's training in righteousness. And that's what God has always desired for us to do, to be one with him, walking in righteousness. The blessings that God has for us are immeasurable. I know he gives each one, according to Romans, a measure of faith. We're an organism. We all are not in the same ministry, but we're all under the same spirit, the same mind, and the same heart, which is Christ. And if we understand fully what that is, that God has given his heart, you know, because that's why I read that psalm. What is man that you are mindful of him? Do you realize what we are? Out of all the stars in the universe, out of everything that was ever created, God has put his heart and affection on us. You know, as a Christian, I don't have problems with any of the scriptures and doctrine. I really don't. I did when I was younger, but God has developed me, sanctified me, and I'm growing every day. But the most incomprehensible thing for me really is the love of the Lord for us. You know, it's something I just can't get my arms around. I know that it's too big. It's too big that the God of all creation made us. How ugly, how wretched man that I am. That's why I went to Romans. I'm pathetic. And yet God loved me with the greatest love, that he would give his only begotten son to come and die for me. And that man that laid there dying at 95, by the way, he was by himself. That money didn't help him, did it? He was alone. There was nobody in that room. But Christ never leaves us or forsakes us. So anyways, as I see that love, it just compels me. For the love of the Lord compels me, you know, or controls me. If one died, all died. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Don, would you read 2:20, please, of Galatians?
Galatians 2.
Yeah.
I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me.
Amen. I know that's one of your favorites, so I picked that one for you. But can we say that? Can you say that you've been crucified with Christ and that you no longer live, that Christ lives in you, and that the life that you live in the flesh, you live by faith, right? For the Son of God who loved you and gave himself up for you. Can you say that? Amen. Because that, if you can say that, then we can die to our passions. We're supposed to die to our passions daily. No longer to be intent. Matter of fact, I know I'm scattering all over here, but I love this, Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, we win in all the patriots and fathers of faith surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising shame, has sat down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, I maybe I'm a stranger here, but there's so many times I get entangled in the world. You know, I want to say that I've been crucified with Christ, and I know I have. I know his righteousness is in me, that his spirit's in me. But we have the flesh. Now, am I the only one struggling with that flesh? All right, thank you. I'm up here going. Because I got to tell you, you know, God wants to bless us. You know, the whole point is to make this family. You know, Pastor Gary read that the other day too. On 12, matter of fact, it's in 11:39-40. It says, "And all these, having gained approval through faith, did not receive what was promised. We did, because God had provided something better for us." Wow, for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Now, what does that mean? Is the church complete? Is this enigma, this mystery of the church complete? No. It's ongoing. This is the harvest that we're talking about. This is why our righteousness is so important. That's why God has given us his spirit, a spirit of life, a spirit of joy, abundant life. That if we're filled, he says in Galatians, walk in that spirit. If we're walking in that spirit, you know, I guarantee you something. God is looking for the heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9, right? What does he look for, Josh?
God is Lord, and to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a heart who's completely his and give him strong support.
Amen. What's he looking at? 16, 1 Samuel 16, when David was appointed, he looked at the heart. He wasn't concerned about appearances. God is always looking at. Now, what is the heart? If we went through Isaiah 11 with the Spirit of God, who that is, and it came upon Christ, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counseling, fear of God. That is the same Spirit that indwells us. So now the question is, if Christ could heal the lame and open the eyes, why aren't we doing it? Can we do it? Yes, we can do it. And I'll tell you, last week, God granted me the great privilege of seeing that faithfulness. And that can be each and every one of us. As we go out into the world, all of us can be that light of Christ, that joy. Yes.
I have to share this with you. I hope you won't mind, but...
No.
last night, my husband tapped another car. He backed into it. And my split-second immediate thought was, oh my gosh, we got to run. I didn't police it, but I thought it. And David was like, Bob, I got to go in and tell him. And inside, I'm thinking, no, you don't. And anyway, he pulls in and he goes in. And I thought to myself while he was in there talking, you know, what a witness. You know, this is God opening a door for him to get in that house.
Amen.
And talk to my neighbors, you know, and here I was, you know, trying to run. And I was like, thank you, Lord, for giving me my husband, you know, because he loves the Lord and he wants to do what's right. And today, we called the insurance company. It was a lot of money. And we got a Christian lady on the phone, and we talked for like half an hour, just back and forth about the Lord. And come to find out, it's not going to cost us anything. There's no deductible for us, and it's not going to make our insurance go up. And I just had to apologize to the Lord over and over again and say, I'm so sorry. You know, I had that thought, and, you know, it's not even like it was something outward that anybody else saw, but that, you know, David's faithfulness and immediately doing the right thing. You know, when you find, like, that $50 bill or whatever, you bring it in the store, he immediately wanted to do the right thing.
Amen. You know, if God is for us, who can be against us, right?
Yep.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that. In Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. How can you? If you're walking in the Spirit of God, you can't. Dave, at that time, was walking in the Spirit of God. He was going to do what was right because it was right. He was governed by the truth of God. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. Oh, don't go in. We don't have to say anything. All right? The Spirit against the flesh. And these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Thank God. You know what I love? And this is going to sound silly. I know it. And I don't love it at the time, but I love the discipline. Because of discipline of the Lord that we endure. I like to be smacked. Because I know he loves me. Because he only disciplines those that he loves. And you know what? I needed that. And I need that. And I'll probably need that right up to my deathbed. But thank God that he loves me so much that he does discipline me. That through the Spirit of God, I can turn away from the world and turn on to him. So if you're getting disciplined, and I tell you another thing too, 99% of your issues, my issues, are self-imposed by sin. Now, you can go ahead and blame a lot of different things, but most of the things we go through are our own problems. And then the other things that we go through are common things that people go through, and it's by the gracious of God that we get through them. Because we're all going to die. Every man's been appointed once to die. And ultimately, what is there more than death? Nothing. And that's why they're so wonderful, beautiful words of life. Because we're giving something that nobody in this world or anywhere else can give but Jesus Christ. So who are we going to stand for? What is our resolve? How are we going to walk? We're going to walk with Christ, and we're going to walk boldly with great strength, because we are what? The light of the world. And they're not going to know it. You know, what separates us? I went in. I've got another. I'm getting off my thing. But, you know, I went in with another individual that I've been ministering to. He's 90, another 95-year-old guy. Okay? And, boy, I was tearing up the scriptures with him. And then I see Jehovah's Witness stuff. Then I see Masons. You know, come to find out he's a 40-year Mason. And I start to see these things, and I say, Lord, what separates us from them? You know, you want to know what all the hypocrisy is in the world, why the church is looked on so dimly, and there's so many criticisms. Look at our lives. And the question is, and this is a rhetorical question, not one to be answered, but are you demonstrating Christ to all those around you? Do they see Jesus? Are they seeing truth? Are they seeing life? Abundant joy? I've worked with Mormons. I've worked with Jehovah's. Did I work with Jehovah's? Yes. They look pretty good. You know, they look pretty darn good on the outside. But you know, there was no glory in it. Why? Because they were serving themselves and not Christ. See, we have but one purpose, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what in Isaiah it talks about over and over again. Our purpose is to glorify God, period, end of story. So what is Scripture for? To evangelize? To win others for Christ? Right? Or to what? Build up the church. Wow. It's Revelation. Huh? That's exactly what it is. There is no more. It's all to the glory of God, by grace alone, by faith alone, for the glory of God alone. That's it. Are you doing it? You ask yourself that. And if you're not, why aren't you doing it? You know, that's one thing Pastor Gary always says. Just do the right thing. You know, he'd get up here, and I'm going to tell you something. We are so blessed from his teaching. I've sat under a lot of pastors, and he is just one of the most gifted teachers I've seen. But you know what's funny about it? I know this to be true. There are people that will leave that sermon, and you ask them an hour later what he was said. You know, that's why, listen, I am 110% for doctrine. But you know, doctrine alone does not save. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Doctrine alone does not save. This is where it comes in, by walking by the Spirit. Why? Now, the deeds of the flesh, 19, are evident. What are they? Immorality, impurity, sensuality. Well, I got through two of them. Third one? What's the fourth one? Idolatry. What are we studying in Isaiah? That was the whole point of Isaiah. You know, God tried to separate Israel over and over again. He told them back, right in the very beginning, do not marry these foreigners. He gave them an example of monogamous marriage with Adam and Eve. They didn't listen to that, did they? Even the man after God's own heart, David, he had concubines. Remember, he slaughtered all the 16 concubines, left them up there to be slaughtered, to abuse and slaughtered. Didn't listen to him there. And then they married and did the foreign wives. And the foreign wives polluted them. That's the world, people. That's, you know, everything in Scripture is really simple. Because it's two things, the world and the Spirit. The world and the Spirit. And I have found that they're almost opposite in everything. The world will tell you one thing. The Spirit will tell you what's best, and life another. And that's just the way God operates. But idolatry. Now, you know what? Every one of us are guilty of that. I can say that. Because I know at one point or another in our lives, we have put something before our Lord. That's idolatry. But why? That's why I read, therefore, there's no condemnation. I tell you, if God is so perfect, and I praise him for putting Romans in there. Because if I were looking at 1 John, or I was looking at Galatians, I said, man, I'm not always walking in the Spirit. Hey, wouldn't we? We absolutely would. But praise God that he has. So idolatry, sorcery, which we're seeing, outbreak of drugs, pharmakeia, anti-strife, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, you name it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. See, we're under the law of liberty. And I know that a lot of you guys on Sunday morning, I'm real big on the law of liberty. And the reason I'm so big on the law of liberty, because that's our freedom. And our freedom is to love like Christ loved. You know, I think Isaiah 53:6. Where's Isaiah here? All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Boy, that summarizes the book. You want to know about Isaiah? You know, I'm a big picture type guy. You know, I know Gary doesn't like that, but that's just the way God made me. You know, and we see through the chapters of Isaiah, you know, the righteousness and holiness and justice of God, and then we see the compassion and glory and lordship and love and grace from 40 on. And we see in the beginning a little mixtures of it. But it's a perfect book because God has done it all. And he has granted us the greatest privilege is to serve him. Yeah, and 53:6. Yeah. But he has granted us the privilege to serve him, that we would be a slave to Christ. There's no greater gift. Would anybody else like to share any experiences? Do you have any questions?
You had mentioned, Roger, you know, about the fact that
The love. Not that he loves me, but that the...
Well,
because I know how wretched I am. You know, it's kind of like, you know, let me put it this, let me give you an analogy of it. Pretend you're the maggot. We're but worms. And would you take that maggot and take your only daughter or son to die for the maggot? I mean, I'm saying in worldly terms. I don't know how else to picture it. But that's so little and minuscule to what God has done for us that I don't even like using the example because it diminishes the love.
Well, it diminishes also this creation. You know, you think of, I mean, I am but wretch,
Yes. Well, could God look at sin? Can God look at sin? Yeah. That's why I say I can't. I don't even like making the comparison. Because sin to God has got to be... I mean, it's not even fear for me. You know, woe be a man of unclean lips and among a people of unclean lips. You know, that's what Isaiah said in chapter 6. That's what I'm talking about. I know he loves me. Oh, I've got great assurance of that love. But what I'm saying is it's incomprehensible
to me. That's what I mean. Why can't that? And I understood what you're saying, Rush, but why can't we come?
Well, I can't.
It's
a book of love. Yeah, I'm just saying for me. Well, are you saying you can't either?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, I just thought I... Oh, okay, so this is something everybody... Is everybody's hurt with that? I don't know what... But I think... You know why? Well, I can... I have the answer for you. It's in Scripture. Yes?
I've got an answer if you want an idea of why we have trouble believing that. It's the original lie. It's the lie you told Adam and Eve. Well, God's withholding something from you. And it's the easiest lie for any man, any woman, any child to believe, oh, someone doesn't love me.
I do believe it. And see, I'm glad you clarified that, and I apologize if there was an error in that. No, I believe wholeheartedly he loves me.
Oh, sure.
Nobody's going to tell me, you know, who can separate me from the love of Christ? Nothing. No. We can't do anything good without him. That's the thing. All our righteousness. We cannot. But we will, because then we'll see him face to face, just as he is. Let's turn to 1 John 3. Let me see here. Three, 1 and 2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And as such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared, it's not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Next verse. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. We're waiting, aren't we? Yeah. Go ahead, Josh.
It was only about a month ago, me and Michelle were going through Ephesians 1, and the light finally came on for me, that I realized that I didn't have nothing to do with my salvation. Because it's hard for man to grasp this, that we didn't just deserve just a little bit. Mom deserved just a little bit. It's got to be a little something. I earned a little bit. But to find the light came on for me, that God, there is no good in me. Mm-hmm. I didn't deserve any of this. It's only your grace.
That's right.
That sets me free. And there was really a peace that came with that and a freedom that let me be more free in Christ, that I just didn't have anything to do with it. And it was kind of humbling. You know?
It really is.
I was like, nothing? Nothing. And I said, yes,
It's his mercy, hasn't it? He's brought all in under, you know, under disobedience, so that his mercies would be known. That's what God is. You know, there's a premise here. God is very good, not good. God is very good. He's not a despot. Now, that's the first premise. Second premise is we're no good, okay? But because of his goodness and his compassion and love, he has given us everything. Now, if we have everything, and I'll get back to the same thought process, Christ died for our iniquities, okay? The decrees were right on the cross. Okay, nailed to the cross, everything that was against us. Now, if he's given us our spirit, if you're truly, under John 3:3, born again, of not water, but water and spirit, cleansed with the word of God, in the spirit of God, indwelling, worshiping in spirit and truth, and that was the key to the Samaritan woman. Where do we worship? They worship here. It's coming, and now is, we're going to worship in spirit and truth, okay? So if we're worshiping in spirit and truth, where are we going, and what are we doing? What is your life about? You know, measure, and I'm not telling you you're not all up here preaching or talking, teaching. No, that's not it. But God has given everyone a gift or gifts. Well, how are you using them? Where do you put God? Worship, worth, is actually a word, you know, worth, ship. What is God worth to you? What do you put before him? And I'm talking this church stuff. You know how many people talk about church? Well, I don't know if you go to church or not. It's wonderful to go to church. God tells us to go to church. He tells us to encourage at church. This is a great thing to give him worth and worship at church. But it's what happens in the bedroom. What happens during the workday? What happens, you know, around the clock every day? Who are you? What are they seeing? God was looking at the heart of Israel. That was the whole point. They saw, it was 20 years, Isaiah was just 20 years before the Assyrians came over and took over Israel, northern territory, the 10 tribes. 20 years. All through that time he was preaching. Look at what's happening, man. Look what's happening. You see, they were doing the same things. They had more guilt on them than Israel. They were eating it up. Oh, they went to church, but I don't want your calves, your fat of lambs, and I don't want that. Why does he want that? Because it means absolutely nothing. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your help doing anything. He wants your heart. That's the circumcision of the heart. That's what he wants. Nothing more, nothing less. You can't give him any more. Give him your heart. If you got your heart, you'll be walking in the Spirit. Because we can do all things through him, right? Who strengthens us? Not some things. Oh, I know, you know, Steve, that's your favorite. That's a beautiful scripture. Are you worshiping God? It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We have a consuming God that has given us, as children of God, everything. Don't be like Israel. Learn from that example of disobedience. You know, all of Romans really is justification by faith, but it's really a call to bring in obedience of faith. If you read, I think it's right in 5, 1 verse 5. I'm wrong, sitting there in the next one or two. But that's what it is, to bring about the obedience of faith. Outside of faith, it's impossible to please God. Yeah, Andrew. You know, I'm glad you brought this up, because, and I think this is important to note. Josh, you are 110% right. You know, it's by grace through faith that we're saved. It's a free gift. God gives it to us. We know that. But the question, and it falls into this whole thing, what do we do with that faith?
Seek the honor of
the Lord. You know, I'll tell you, I'm not going to get into it because it's running, but I would ask you to go to 2 Peter. You don't have to go there. But read chapter 1 of 2 Peter. And there's a great prescription there. Add to the diligence of your faith, what? it gets into virtue or moral excellence, to that knowledge, to that what, you know, and it goes, it delineates one, and you don't have to take them in sequence. The point is, each one of those is going to bring you in discipline with the Lord. That's why I wanted you to read that one day. But it's going to bring you into the discipline and obedience of the Lord. That's what it's there for. That Peter says, I'll bring these in remembrance of you so that we can walk in the Spirit of God. Then we're not to be ashamed of the word, accurately handling the word, and being the light, and being, you know, setting people free. Are there any other questions?
Why don't you kind of answer the question about us not being able to understand it? Because I think that 2 Peter 1 is actually the verse that my coworker, who's a Christian, and I have claimed this year, the school year. And it was, you know, as we are, you know, it says here, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and excellency. And then it goes on to our ultimate goal, though, and it goes down to the, in there is love in verse 7. You know, all of those build upon each other, the diligence and the moral excellence and the self-control and the perseverance, the godliness, the brotherly kindness, and ultimately is the love.
That's right.
Which is the true knowledge of God. That's how we will know that he truly, he loves us, and for us to gain the love is when we are obedient with our faith.
And when we are obedient, the world, God is going to open the windows of heaven. I'm telling you. I've seen little glimpses of it. I can't imagine. You know, I guess what Moody, what one man yielded to the Spirit of God, what he can accomplish, you know, fully yielded. Man, we have just a tremendous blessing. Did somebody have another question? Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you about Romans 7:15. But one thing, we were talking about the other night, was that when your heart is right with the Lord, he brings the ministry to you. You don't have to go out there and beat the bushes for it because he opens the door and guides you. He brings the ministry right to you. It's almost, it looks like you're just walking through the open door.
Yes.
He brings it to you. He might take you to it, but you know he brings it to you.
Right.
When your heart is right with God.
Well, that's what happened.
Right.
I'm sitting here. This was not hospice.
Right.
This was, brought it to me.
Right.
God brought the blessing to me. You know, and you know, I know you guys have been studying that 1 Peter, but you know, to give a blessing, right? That's a covenant promise. Do you realize that? That if we live to give a promise, would they inherit a promise? That actually is a covenant.
But then my question was in if you just clarify for me, because I've also struggled with this verse in Romans 7:15.
Yeah.
You were just touching on.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do. But I am doing the very thing I hate." Could you explain it? Sometimes I think, does he hate the gospel? Does he hate the flesh?
No, it's the
flesh. You see what I'm saying? Because sometimes we find ourselves serving when we know our body feel like it's tired and feel like, you know, we can't get more. The next thing you know, the joy just comes in when you are serving. Could you just clarify?
Yeah. You remember what Paul's background was? He was a Pharisee. And a good, you know, from the tribe of Benjamin, and he gives delineation in Philippians. He was saying that I know the law is good. Okay, and the law is perfect. The law is perfect. We're not. And he was saying this, as much as I want to do the law, the members of my flesh cannot do it. And the premise of this is that, and that's why it's so important, understand this, that you know that Christ was here in the flesh and died in the flesh. And that's why the Antichrist, if they denied Christ in the flesh, you know why? Because it was in the flesh that he took the sins away. We couldn't do it. He did. The heart of God came, did it for us. So that, therefore, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Because our righteousness is in him now. That's what he was saying. I can't do it. That's it. Any other questions? I really wasn't prepared for this, but...
Well, the Spirit, obviously.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, because Sherry will attest to this. You know, I'll do my studies and stuff, but I really, until I get up here, I don't know what... You know, it's funny, and I got confirmation from Pastor Cook. I said, you know, when you go to prepare, what do you do? He goes, well, I never really knew exactly what I was going to say. He said, I had an idea what I was going to say, but I didn't know until I got up there. Boy, I understand that wholly. I really do. There was a quote here on this song that really touched me. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we will walk the heavenly way. Let's pray. Father, I just praise you, your majestic name, that you would take an object of man and make that your love. That you would send what is most precious to you, your heart and your son, to die for us on the cross. Father, I just pray that we would walk by the Spirit that you have given us, that we would give life, that people would see the light and be attracted to what they see. Father, that we would change hearts. You say that the harvest is great, but the labors are few. Father, make us laborers. Give us a heart after you. Give us eyes that see as you see. Not in the world, not what's around us, in front of us. Father, for hope that is seen is no hope at all. It's the hope that's not seen. So, Father, strengthen us that we would walk by faith and please you in everything that we do. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Going in.